Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 to 26. We'll turn to this evening. So now, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Well, I wonder what your vision is of being grown up, of adulthood. It's something that many long for, and I find myself looking forward to being grown up in many, many ways. What does it mean to be grown up? Are you growing up today? Are you growing in the faith? Are you increasing in faith? If you've been in primary school, you may have heard as I have on numerous occasions, my children's theme tunes from their plays, the Roald Dahl's or Tim Minchin's adaptation of Roald Dahl's Matilda song, When I Grow Up. And it's a song of a desire to face life and all of its challenges and difficulties whilst eating sweets, watching cartoons, until the eyes go square. I will be smart enough to answer all the questions. Is that your vision of being grown up? I will be strong enough to carry all the heavy things you have to haul around with you when you're a grown up. Children sing this song at primary school, and perhaps children in primary school ache, don't they, for adulthood. They're looking forward to being grown up, to be able perhaps to drive a car or have freedoms and so on that seem to be offered to them. But they're largely, aren't they, children, for you children here this evening, largely unaware of the aches and pains and burdens and stresses and strains of adulthood. It's evident that our generation seems to me increasingly to have an issue with being grown up, for men to take on responsibility and to take seriously life's challenges. Traditionally, adulthood's values were, in the past, and I'm not preaching about the past today, but traditionally those values were about responsibility, self-control, self-sufficiency, and so on. But faith, as he grew up, what are you aspiring towards today? I hope you haven't given up the Christian life of growth. The Bible equates maturity with actions based on faith, it seems to me. And it's always that way round. A life built on the solid foundation of knowing Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord and following him in the difficult road of the life of faith, confidently going towards the promise, as we have in the context of Hebrews chapter 11. Are you growing up? Are you growing up? We see that firstly in Moses, in his essential refusal towards certain things, an essential refusal. Because we're told here that by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Growing up has something to do with refusal then. Moses, as he grew up, he chose to suffer. We all have a similar choices to make every day in the Christian life. Choices to make. It's a choice. Choice of being here, identified with Christ, of following him and being identified with him in his sufferings. You can refuse then the offer of temporal pleasures and endure the life of suffering in Christ, or you can choose temporal pleasures and lose your eternal reward. That's the choice that's laid before us, as it were. Which are you going to choose? Sadly, many people are choosing, aren't they? Every day, they are choosing temporal pleasures over the difficult life of faith. But Moses refused. How hard it is for us here this evening. How hard it is for us to refuse temporal pleasures. Very difficult. Pharaoh's daughter had rescued Moses from death, hadn't she? We saw a sort of introduction to that this morning, and gave Moses then a new life. Absolutely, a life of safety and a life of security. She'd given him a name, adopted him as her own son, and raised him as such. Acts chapter 7, verse 22 tells us that. In the glories and in the wealth of the Egyptians, he had it all. All the temporal blessings were his. But underneath it all, he knew that his identity was with the Lord. He knew that. And he walked by faith through it all. And that was what pleased the Lord. He was living by faith. He was identifying himself with the people of God. And we see that in this dramatic incident that we read in Exodus chapter 2, where that was sort of forced upon him. But he was reacting in a positive way by identifying himself with the Lord's people. See, there are always costs in life, aren't there, there with us? Every day we have a cost, benefit kind of way to assess the decisions that we make all of the time. Chocolate cake, piece of lettuce, job promotion, integrity, stay at home and watch television, meet with God's people, give money to that cause, or save it up for future possible difficult days, be in a room with difficult people, or be in a room on your own. Date that attractive person or wait for a Christian. Cost and benefit. And I want us to think a little bit like that now as we consider Moses' growth in faith and his essential refusals that he needed to make. The first one being then, Moses rejected Pharaoh's daughter, did he not? Yeah, that was a cost, rejecting her as his mother. It's to do with identity, see. Moses chose to walk away from everything that Pharaoh's daughter had provided. to then go and be united to whom? To, well, by all accounts, by sight, to slave laborers. That's what he chose. The emotional expense of that was surely a great one. Rejection is always hard, isn't it? But to choose one group of friends will often mean that you have to be rejected by another. We should have learnt those lessons in schooling, shouldn't we? We've gone through those experiences of being united to one group of friends but rejected by another. But our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, he chose rejection, didn't he? He chose the ultimate rejection of death. He was crucified on that cross because of his identity with the living God. And he chose that death on the cross for our sakes, knowing that he would be then accepted or received up into glory, as 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us. Christ endured rejection. The second cost, Moses rejected Pharaoh's, not only Pharaoh's daughter as a mother, but rejected Pharaoh's riches. He enjoyed, didn't he, up until this point, this dramatic point that we've read in Exodus chapter 2 this evening, enjoyed a position of honor, higher than really anybody else in Egypt, remarkably so and fascinatingly so. And really in the whole world, therefore, because the Egyptian Empire was the largest at the time. But Moses went to be in Midian with those in poverty. He lived in luxury, eating the best food, wearing the finest clothing. He could have enjoyed all the world's pleasures. But because he was living by faith, when the choice came immediately, he did. He chose to be identified with his people, and he lost all of those benefits. Jesus Christ also chose the life of a poor man. He came down from the glories and riches of heaven to live amongst us, to tabernacle amongst us in poverty, to be born into poverty, and to live the life of a pauper amongst us for our salvation. That he would go to the shame of the cross to be identified with his people through his baptism indeed as well. And we gain everything by walking with Jesus because of his expenditure. Thirdly, Moses rejected Pharaoh's position. Here he was rising to the top. Maybe he could have himself been a Pharaoh. You could be first in the world. You can be if you put enough effort in. That's what we're told. That's what we're indoctrinated into believing in our education system. If you work hard enough, you could be number one. You could be first. You could be first in whatever circle you find yourself to be in. You could be a big fish in a small pond if you want to be. Moses knew everybody. He was famous. That's evident from Exodus chapter 2. And everybody knew him. But he chose to give that all up, knowing that those who will be first must choose to be last. Moses rejected Pharaoh's praise as well. Fourthly, he was despised and rejected by the people who served him and surrounded him. Moses wasn't living a double life, I don't think, prior to this event. Exodus 2, 11 to 25 that we read was where he had to make that final decision. And it was a necessary one. But up to that point, he was living that life. He knew he was a Hebrew and probably everyone else did, actually. But he was also able to receive all of the benefits of being of Pharaoh's household. But now he chooses to walk away from all of that.
What a fool, you might say.
Now all of Egyptian society is going to turn its back on him. But to be a Christian today as well means that people will think less of us. They will. And we have to get our heads around that. Churches that are about Jesus Christ and him crucified, who preach Christ and him crucified, who stand on the truth of God's word, they just never will be popular in society. Never. We hear it all of the time, don't we? They start to be interested in our charitable activities, but then they discover, and they will discover, what we actually believe. You believe that? Jesus alone? And we're despised. They mocked Jesus, didn't they? You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. If we're going to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will not be praised by the world. And Moses, as I'm saying to you this evening, as he became of age, as he grew up, he understood the cost of being identified with the Lord. But there are benefits. It's important to emphasize the benefits, isn't it? How vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. All of the costs that we've had to bear are nothing, actually, in comparison with the benefits that we've received in the Lord Jesus Christ. Benefits. Well, let's take Moses as an example this evening. Benefits. Well, he gained God's people, did he not? He gained God's people. Moses chose to endure mistreatment with the people of God. Oh, we seem to treat that title as something very, very pitiful and small, but it's a grand one. The people of God. We are heirs with Christ Jesus. We are sons with him. We are adopted into the family of God. We have received blessing upon blessing in him, in Christ. And we are identified with the Lord's people. What a privileged people we are. Moses saw that to be identified with God's people was of greater privilege than to be counted amongst the people of Egypt. Indeed, to be counted amongst the most privileged in temporary terms in this world. The church may have difficult and unattractive people in it today. But it is a wonderful privilege, isn't it, to be journeying together, one with another, here in this church, here in Buckingham Chapel, here in Hill Park Baptist Church, and we come together and we're marching to Zion together. And hallelujah, praise his name that we are doing this together because we are the Lord's people. And how wonderful it is to be counted as such. Moses gained the people of God. He gained the riches of Christ. He, we're told, considered Christ. Here in these verses, as Abraham did. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, said Jesus. He saw it and was glad. Are you glad this evening? Are you glad to be counted with Christ? It's far better, far greater the blessings we have to know him and his eternal smile upon our lives. Far greater than the riches of this earth. Far more wonderful. gaining the riches of Christ. Moses gained the everlasting benefits of heaven. We're told in verse 26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Looking to the reward. Some acts of faith receive temporary earthly rewards, perhaps, and we are thankful for them, graciously given from heaven, but that is not what we're looking to. The Christian life sees far into the future, doesn't it? We see into the glory. We can see by faith, because of the promises of God in his word, we can see, as it were, into, well, 100 years. Can you imagine 100 years from now? We will be with Christ. We will have received that reward. Can you imagine the faith, the eye of faith, as it were, the imagination of faith, can I call it that, into 1,000 years? We can imagine that. We don't know what it will be like. We have no details, but we know we will be with Christ, enjoying his presence in 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 100,000 years. We will be with him. We will be with him in that better country, that heavenly country, verse 16. We desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And by faith, then, we capture that vision, that all the gold of Egypt we so hunger for in our society just disappears into insignificance, and it enables us, therefore, to do difficult things that the life of faith calls us to. An essential rejection, then. And secondly, an essential faith. Faith is necessary, not that which is mustered up within us, but that which is given to us as a gift. And we ask the question, don't we? Well, how on earth did he do this? How did Amram and Jochebed do this in the previous verse, in verse 23? How did Moses perform these great acts of faith? There are great people who have done great things in the world in the name of Jesus Christ. We're in awe of them. You can listen to podcasts. You can read their history books, their longer writings on how they've managed to maintain their greatness. And you can learn their lessons. We want to be strong. You want to be strong in faith to honor the Lord in your Christian life as you go on. We want to learn from their advice. We want to make a difference, to be an influence in the world, to be that aroma of Christ in this generation. And we look at these people. And we're in awe of them. Moses, a remarkable story. From his birth, as we've seen, to his upbringing, his actions in latter years are truly remarkable. He's renowned in the ages. Everybody knows Moses, don't we? Even if it's, as we talked about this morning, even if it comes down to the basket. His work is great. Speaks of a greater redemption so clearly. He's the lawgiver. The commandments were given through Moses. But whatever his works and position and usefulness in the great story of redemption of mankind, and actually the small parts he played in it, all that Moses did, we are learning from Hebrews 11, was by faith. He was justified not because he was a great man, not because he was mighty and performed amazing things, but he was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Because all are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no justification before a holy God except for that which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting in the promise of God, trusting in the redemption he would bring in Jesus Christ. It's only by faith then, only by faith, only by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross that we can live lives marked by that. And that we can live lives of obedience to the will of God and engage in the Christian life of self-denial, which we are all called to do. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. These are essential words of our Saviour. Faith is all and in all that we must do for the Lord. Nothing else done. If we are doing anything in our own strength, in our own efforts and abilities, then it is unacceptable. It's not worth anything if we are not trusting in the finished work of Christ. And it was the same in Moses' day. It was the same in the apostles' day. It's the same today, in 100 years' time, 100 years ago. Faith in Jesus Christ is essential. And it's essential if we are going to achieve anything for his glory. Anything done without him is worthless. We're not aiming to have our names written in the annals of history. We should not be. Moses' name was. We're not aiming to be popular or to receive earthly reward, but that which will please God and receive the eternal reward of heaven's inheritance. Moses was in possession, see, of everything that the world had to offer. But he simply, it seems, discarded that, didn't he? In that moment, yes, there was a foolish action of his that he should not have done in murdering a man. But he discarded that identity that he had in some respects to Egypt at the first opportunity. Not recklessly. Not because the things of this world and its education is necessarily bad. But because either he stood with Egypt or he stood with God and his people. He stood with the people of God and Jesus Christ and all that he stood for. Yes, he did. The life of faith isn't necessarily then the renouncing of all earthly things. That's not what we're saying. But all earthly things are nothing in comparison with having Jesus Christ, of being identified with him, taking his promises, believing on him, acting upon his word, listening to his voice in scripture. And as we live by faith in his word, we will be strengthened and enabled to do the difficult things and to walk that difficult path. Essential faith. And then lastly, I want you to see this essential consideration. Let's read the words again in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. As you read this, these phrases, as you consider the reproach of Christ and Moses, that Moses seems to have operated and lived by and made his decisions based on what? Based on this principle. His life, not that it was a perfect life, as we've mentioned, but a life that was built upon this principle. And so then, because of this principle of faith, esteeming, considering the reproach of Christ, he acts in this knee-jerk way, not in a negative way, a knee-jerk way to go to be identified with the people of God, the Israelites, who'd received the promises of God, who were his people, and through whom the redemption of sinners would come, through the seed, who is Jesus Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. He considered, he valued it, he dwelt upon it, the reproach of Christ. The reproach of Christ he counted, therefore, as nothing, all the wealth and fame and prosperity, as we've been mapping out a little, of this world. He stood with his people, with the people of God, however oppressed they were, however costly this might be. He considers the reproach of Christ. The writer here is saying that if you want to know the Lord's smile upon your life, if you want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord as you grow in him, if you want to triumph in Christ, then you need to do the same. You need to do it increasingly. As you grow up, as you prepare for life and its challenges, as you prepare, I don't know what challenges may well be facing you in the week to come even. Are you learning the lessons of faith? As Isaac, Jacob, Joseph did, facing the fears of this world, what's the answer? Well, the answer isn't to dig deep. That seems to be the message. People are doing incredible things today, aren't they? How are they doing it? Well, they're listening to Bear Grylls. To dig deep. Well, maybe you should listen to some things he says. But no, today for us this evening, the answer for us to face the challenge of growing up, of the Christian life, it is to consider the reproach of Christ. That's the answer. It's not dig deep. It's not look to the hero inside yourself. It's consider the reproach of Christ. Dear friends, do that. Are you convinced? Are you convinced that Jesus Christ is your Savior? That he suffered and bled and died for your sins? That your sins deserve nothing less than the full wrath of God in hell. And Jesus Christ is the one who endured all of that as he hung on that cross, as he endured that reproach, as he suffered there. This Christ was to come. Yes, he wasn't to come for more than 1500 years after the days of Moses. That's true. He had been promised, hadn't yet been provided. But what Moses considered wasn't, see, and this is where often we get this wrong, I think, is that we think that Moses considered suffering as a concept, as something worthy to go through. Suffering as an idea, in a general sense, to get through life. You've got to suffer in life to get some kind of rewards. But that's not what we're talking about, and that's not what Moses was talking about, not what he considered, not what he esteemed. Moses was not considering the reproach even of things like Christ suffered. But he esteemed and considered the suffering of Christ, the reproach of Christ. Christ did not die on the cross as a mere example of suffering. No, he suffered for our sins. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ for our justification, so that we can be made right with a holy God. What was filling the mind of Moses, we can imagine then? Well, the promise of God given to mankind, as we mentioned this morning, that the seed would come. The seed, singular. That he would be born, that he would save through his suffering. That this seed, as well, will be oppressed. The people of God will always be oppressed. Israel and Egypt could never join. Can never join. So the church and the world can never join. There will always be an unequal yoke about it. Pharaoh hated the Israelites, wanted them oppressed, wanted them suppressed, wanted them weighed down with increasing burden, and ultimately just wanted them wiped off the face of planet Earth. And that's why Christians are hated in the world today as well, and why the church in our land is seen as being dangerous. It's because of the beast of Revelation and the serpent of Genesis will always seek to crush the seed. Moses was considering these things as well. To trust in the promise of God is to be joined with the promise of God. It is to be united to him. He suffered, Christ suffered, we are privileged to suffer with him. Is that not the Apostle Paul's argument in his letter to the Philippians? We suffer, he is reproached, we are reproached, we're going to be reproached, but he lives. He lives, hallelujah. He lives, we live. He is raised, we are raised. He is resurrected, we are resurrected. He receives victory, we gain in his spoils as we are united to him. Moses esteemed, he considered the reproach of Christ, and that is vital if we are to grow. What are you choosing then in conclusion? How are you going to make your decisions in the week to come? You can spend your hours watching pleasurable videos, but it will do you no good whatsoever. What will you choose? Choose temporal suffering in the place of temporal pleasure. Temporal suffering leading to eternal reward. Temporal pleasure leading to eternal emptiness. Are you keeping the greater riches of Christ in view? How are you going to do that in the week to come if you're not going to be a people of the Word of God? When all of the treasures of this world are constantly paraded before you, we must keep the reproach of Christ before our eyes, and the riches of Christ before our eyes as well. When was the last time you separated? It's a question you can ask yourself. When was the last time you separated, like Moses did from Egypt? It's not just a one-off thing, is it? Was that hard or was it easy? If it was easy, Then we have to ask the question whether you really did separate. When you said no to the temporal pleasures of this world in the place of being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what does it mean to you to be grown up? What does it mean to you to be grown up? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, well, he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What a great text this is. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And may God enable us also this evening to look to that reward. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father and gracious God, oh, we thank you for placing before us the great hope of the gospel. And it is a hope for us, a sure and certain hope, because our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered on this earth for us. And all we pray then, as we face a world with all of its temptations and all of its luring of us, we pray that you'll help us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be identified with him, and to live for his glory in all that we say and we do, with all of the decisions that we have to make in the week to come. Please help us to honor you and to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.